right now, something's wrong. Because His Spirit is mighty in this place. If we will, as Bill said in Sunday school, as I'm going to say later, as we surrender to Him. There's something about surrendering that gives us freedom, isn't it? When we surrender, it just takes off all the burden and all the weight when we surrender. We're like, you know, no longer do I got to carry this. I'm giving it away. And now I'm free because I'm surrendering fully. That's what I loved about King David. His heart, though he sinned, though he got in great trouble, his heart was so sensitive to things of God. And he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart, a right spirit within me again. Something about surrendering that just takes the burden off. And I love that. Never be too proud to surrender to God. Never be too proud to surrender to the King of Kings, no matter who you think you are, because you are absolutely nothing without the breath of God being in you. And I'm thankful for that. Y'all going to be seated this morning if you so wish. Boy, this one side over here is packed, isn't it? Man. I'm going to explain that if y'all will give me a second. Give me my Bible. Thank you. We had a wedding yesterday, and they put these flowers down, and they were going to clean them up. And I said, I'll tell you what, I want you to leave them, because I wanted to make a visual this morning a little bit. It may not make any sense to you, and maybe like really left it for that, but it was my vision, so back off. This is what I wanted. Hello, Peyton. Do we have any little kids that want to go back to children's church, kindergarten or younger in here that want to go back? K or younger? If not, then you'll be in here, I guess. We had a wedding, and I saw the rose petals, and it went along with my message, because my message this morning is, is he the Lord of your life? It's a question. Only you can answer this question today. And the 5 points that I'm going to make are all questions. All five are questions that only you can answer this morning. But as I saw these rose petals, I began to think, when we see rose petals, what do we think about? What's some of the things that come to your mind when you see rose petals on the floor? What did you say? Art? Hearts, okay. But what do you think about when you, in a movie, see somebody throwing rose petals down? What's normally happening? Or what? Royalty. Thank you. Who said that? Okay, thank you. So Melanie gets the point. Oh, Marjorie gets the point. I'm sorry.
We said
royalty. Look, y'all, it's my vision. Okay, now, here's the deal. Have you never seen in a movie where a king is coming in or a prince and they throw petals before them? Right, right. Exactly. Thank you for bringing that up. That is the point that I'm trying to make, that you think of royalty. And so this morning I thought, the greatest presence in this place, of course, is our Lord and our Savior. He's our royal king. He deserves, as he walks in, as we present to him. I know palm leaves were a part of him coming into Jerusalem. I understand that. But I saw this. I wanted a visual of who we're honoring today. We're honoring the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And he's worthy of the entrance into this place and the entrance into our hearts today. And that's why I left these rose petals. Now, I've got something else I want to say. We don't have a whole lot here this morning, but I was going to save these rose petals, if y'all wouldn't mind, for any of the children that would want to pick them up afterwards. That would be great. So thank y'all. Any of the kids can taste, but he wants to, see? The kids can pick them up. I appreciate that. Thank you. Just throw them away. But this is a visual of who we're celebrating today. Is he the Lord of your life? There are many people that will tell me, and I talk to people all the time, I talked to someone yesterday, and they believe in God, but God is not the Lord of their life. I believe there's a creator, but he's not the Lord of my life. The Lord of our lives means that he is totally number one in every aspect of everything we do. Every walk, from over our health to over our finance, over our marriage, over our children, over our decisions, over everything. He is number one. Jesus is number one in our life. That means he's the Lord of our lives. So we're going to get some scripture today and some points. So go to the next slide, Brandon. And here is the first question. Point number one, talk about Lord of our life. do you love him most? I never forget, I told my son when he was a little boy that I love God more than I do him. He never let that go. You love God more than me? Yes, I do. I love God more than my wife, and I love my wife. She's the greatest love in my life in the flesh, but I love God more. I love Christian. I even love Ashley. But you know what? I love God more. I love my mom and my dad. If they were off the earth, I would be grieved and in great pain. But I love God more. When he's the Lord of your life, it starts here. Do you love him most? Because if you love, and I'm going to just be very clear this morning, if you love any person or anything more than you love God, he is not the Lord of your life. Your wife's the Lord of your life, or your child. And I see people all the time that live through their children and can never let it go. They live through someone else and can never let it go. Let's read some scripture. Do you love him most? These are all questions only you can answer today. This is what Matthew, I think we're in Matthew, Mark chapter 12, verse 29. Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." He is saying you've got to love me with all of yourself. Now, me as a human being, I can love people in different parts without giving my whole heart away. See, I love my mom and dad, but I don't love them the way I love my wife. I love my wife. I don't love her the same way I love my children. I love Bill, but I don't love Bill as much as I love Nathan. And so we love in different parts. I give part of my heart to my wife, part of my heart to my children, part of my heart to my parents, part of my heart to Joe Brown, part of my heart to all of you, part of my heart to Randy, part of my heart to Tony, part of my heart to all of you. But I give all of my heart to God. That's the difference. I don't share God as far as he's number one. If everybody fails me, see, I understand I could do something to tick my wife off the point she would leave me. But God won't. I've ticked folks off of the church before they've left me, but God hasn't. I can tick my children off, and they can be mad at me, but God's not. See, here's the thing about our God. God is never mad at you. God loves you. We tend to think God is mad at us or against us because of our failures. Our failures have nothing to do with how God feels about us. We're his creation, and he knows our frailties. He knows our weaknesses. He made us, and yet he loved us. He died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the commandment God gives here, I love this. He starts out by saying, you know, the first thing getting given your tithes and offerings, the first thing getting coming to church, the first thing getting, you know, shouting hallelujah, the first thing getting dressing with a necktie and a suit or a dress, the first thing getting fixing your hair up and looking all pretty for church. What he says is, love me with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength. In other words, I want all of you. If I'm going to be your Lord, I've got to have all of your allegiance to my life. Then he goes on the next verse, 31. The second is this. You shall love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other greater commandment than this. So this tells me the order Jesus did it in, that we love him first, above our neighbor, above our family, above ourselves. God comes first. So question one this morning to gauge, is he really Lord of your life? Do you love him the most. Pastor, how can I love God the way I love my child? You understand, I hold my child. I kiss my child. My child has my heartstrings, my husband, my wife, my mama, my daddy, my grandpa, my granny, my aunt. How can I measure God something I can't see the same way as I can with something I grew up with? Because without God, you wouldn't have a mama, daddy, a baby, a granddaddy, an aunt, or uncle. You wouldn't have breath. You wouldn't have life. You wouldn't have a future. You wouldn't have peace. You wouldn't have joy. You wouldn't have salvation. You wouldn't have an eternal reward waiting on you, reserved in heaven, that fadeth not away. Because as good as Melanie is, she cannot give me everlasting life. Only Jesus Christ can give me everlasting life. That's why I love him, because he first loved me. The Bible says he loved me when I wanted nothing to do with him. He loved me when I turned my back on him. He loved me when I rebelled against him. He loved me when I didn't pay him any attention. He loves me when I don't talk to him, don't pray to him, don't study his word. He still loves me. He's an unconditional, all-sufficient, everlasting, ever-loving God in my life. That's why I love him the most, because he has promised, I'm never going to leave you, James. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to be with you to the very end of the world. No matter how many bury you in the sand and walk away and forget you ever existed, I will never forget you existed. I created you. I ordained you. I appointed you. I designed you for a destiny that only I really know what the end is. That's why we love God the most, above everybody else. The divorce rate in America is still around 50%. Aren't you glad the Christian rate of God divorcing us is not that? Aren't you glad God doesn't, that God honors his vows more than people honor their vows? The vows that I normally do include something like, I will stay with you, richer or poor, which Krista had a hard time saying the poor word yesterday. Krista got married, by the way, Krista and Kevin, and that's who got married. And when I got the part about rich or poor, Krista went, richer, and she kind of, she kind of choked up. I made her say it. You got to say it, Chris. Poor, okay. See, there's times in our lives that we make those vows. I'm with you for rich or poor. But now relationships go into it already with an escape plan, already with an exit strategy. I'll get married. Don't work. No big deal. I'll walk away. Aren't you glad God didn't call your name? He didn't call Randy's name, save his heart, and then say, well, Randy, I saved you, but now, you know, if I get tired of it, brother, I'm going to walk away. And you on your own. Thank God he isn't treat us that way. His love is unconditional. That's why we must love him the most. And you know what? When your children and your spouse see that you are putting God even above them, that's a testimony of the glory of God in their lives. Because my son's brought that up more than once. That stuck with him when I said that. You love God more than me? Yeah, I do. And I told him, I think, because without God, I wouldn't have you. Understand that. He's the creator of all things. Question number two I'm going to ask you this morning is this. Will you serve him no matter what? Here's where it gets really sticky for Christians. And as a pastor, some of you may be here today and have been through this. If you have, don't get offended. Just take it as truth. It's kind of the old saying, if it's true, it ain't bragging. Well, if this is truth, it ain't offending, okay? This is just truth. I, as a pastor, many times people will fall out of the church. They'll quit coming. I'll give them a call, follow up. Well, I'm just going through some things. I'm not coming to church. But I want to just go ballistic. I mean, it don't even make no sense. Okay. Now, if you are sick and dying at your house, I ain't going to the doctor because I'm just really about to die. Okay. I mean, really? Somebody's breaking in your house. Well, I ain't going to call the police. I'm about to get robbed and mugged, but, you know, I'm just not going to, I ain't feeling. I ain't going to go, I ain't going to call no policeman. That's the same thing. When you're going through hell, you need the church to help pull you out. That's the very thing the devil does, to get you out of hearing the word of God, because hearing is what builds up our faith. But so many people, when they start going through things, the first thing they stop doing is serving God. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to give my offering. I'm not going to read. I had one person years ago tell me they're going to quit tithing because God hasn't kept his part of the bargain. I said, are you serious? I'd be scared to say that. You're going to quit giving because you've given. You feel like God ain't kept his part of the bargain. Are you alive? Are you healthy? Is your wife alive? Is your family alive? Do you have food on your table? Roof on your house? Clothes on your back? Yep. You got a car drive? Yep. Gas in it? Yep. I mean, he's not a magic genie. You don't rub the belly of God, you know, and blink like Bart Eaton. You know, ooh, I gave my 10%. I want a Cadillac in my driveway by Monday morning, 3 o'clock, shined up mag wheels with Bluetooth and satellite radio. I'm going to tell you something. I absolutely believe in declaring God's word for our lives, but I do not believe in the name it, claim it to get a Cadillac deal and using God's word as a crutch to try to do that. There's a big difference. And we got people that if they don't think things are going exactly the way they should, I'll just stop serving God. So are we serving God? It goes back to our vows, right? Do you think Melanie's pleasant to live with every day of our lives? Do you think I'm pleasant to live with every day of our lives? Heck no. Absolutely not. Do we argue and fight? Yes, we do. Do we do it some? Yes. Do we do it sometimes a lot? Yes. You know why? Because people that don't argue and fight, I don't think are really in love. I'm telling you. Couples that tell me we never argue, I worry about that. How in the world? Even as sweet as Lillian is, I bet her and Roger have argued before in their marriage. I mean, look at them. Wouldn't you argue with them? Roger knows I love him. But you know what? We stick with each other no matter what. I'm her husband no matter what. I want to serve her needs no matter what. She don't have to be treating me the right, sweetest way for me to claim her as my wife. And vice versa. Will you serve God no matter what? Because if he's the Lord of your life, you will. Because you're not basing your servantship on how he's treating you or what you think is or isn't happening in your life. You either serve God or you don't. You know how many times on Facebook I've seen, you know, especially the Cowboy fans, bless their hearts, they hadn't celebrated in 25 years. But you know what? They put a thing on there that says, you know, Cowboys for life. You know, no matter what, lose Cowboys for life. And there's people that stick to their team from the time they own up to know it. Bill Fuller, and I hope he's not embarrassed me saying this, is a Detroit Lions fan. And he has been since he was a kid. He is 47 years old and still pulls for the Lions. They've not won a playoff game since the 90s. They've never been to a Super Bowl. They very rarely have a winning season. But Bill wears a Lions hat, wears a shirt. He's a Lions fan. He is serving his faithful allegiance no matter what. 0-16 or 16-0, I'm pulling for the Lions because that's the way I go. That is Bill pulling for his team. We stick to our sports teams more than we stick to God. How many victories has your team given you? What has the Lions done for Bill but bring misery and heartbreak and sorrow? But yet he pulls for him year after year after year. He's a glutton for punishment. And we serve a God who is not the Detroit Lions. And he sure ain't the New England Patriots. Thank God. We serve a God who is faithful to our lives every single day. And we got to make a choice. Lord, I'm going to serve you no matter what the consequence, no matter what I see or don't see, no matter what's coming against my life, I'm going to serve you. Let's go to a verse. I think of Melanie every time I read this few scriptures here. Daniel chapter 3, verse 15. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children who was in a paganistic nation, a paganistic place. And King Nebuchadnezzar was making everybody bow down when he played the music, making them bow down and worship his gods. Well, these three Hebrew children made a decision. We are not going to bow down. We're not going to worship your gods. And they made a decision to serve God no matter what. Look what they said. Now, this is the king talking. If you be ready that you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you will fall down and worship the image which I made, all is well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast in the same hour. There wasn't none of this death row, 32 years death row, that's feeding three times a week, was it? I mean, you gone, brother. You will be thrown to a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Think how smug he was. I'm going to tell you what, boys. I'm a good king. I'm a gracious king. So I'm going to give you one more chance to bow down. But if you don't bow down, who can take you out of my hands, man? I'm King Nebuchadnezzar. They call me Neb. I'm the man. King in around here. I have all power and authority to take your lives. Who could possibly deliver you out of my hand? Look how they answered. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, and by the way, these names were not their original names. These are the names that King Nebuchadnezzar gave them because they were Hebrews. He was trying to make them more like him. So that weren't their original Hebrew names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. We don't have to think about it. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to thee, O king, we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up. They were not going to serve anybody but God. They made a decision, you're my Lord, and I'm going to serve you no matter what. No matter what the consequence, no matter what the outcome, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what the devil's brought my way, no matter what I've brought on my own self, no matter what's happened in my life, God, I'm going to serve you no matter what. This is the second step in measuring, is he really the Lord of our lives? Are we allowing ourselves to serve him no matter what? Or when things come our way, do we back off and stop serving the Lord? We shouldn't be able to let go of God that easy. If we can't let go of our football team, we can't let go of our addiction, we can't let go of our sweet tea, we can't let go of whatever in our lives that seem to, you know, I'm going to, you know what? Just so you know, for full disclosure, I'm drinking sweet tea again. You know, I went 32 days, but I'm off the wagon, okay? And you know what? I'll drink sweet tea. Usually I stop and get a large McDonald's tea every morning on the way to church. And it don't matter what kind of day I'm having, I'm going to get me a sweet tea. If Melanie fussed at me, I don't change me getting a sweet tea. If Asher's a brat going to school, I don't change me getting sweet tea. Not that she ever is. You know, if my bank account's down to $2.55, hey, tea's a buck. Ain't going to stop me. I'm just saying. Think about that. Nothing in my day happens that would change my decision if I want to get a sweet tea or not. But yet, we change how we serve God because our circumstances change. You got to trust God or not, period. You got to serve him or not, period, if he's really the Lord of your life. Question number three this morning. We got five. Number three, to measure if he's the Lord of your life. Only you can answer these questions this morning. Will you trust him in spite of? Trust. We've talked about, do you love him the most? Will you serve him no matter what? Will you trust him in spite of? In spite of what? In spite of what I see? In spite of what I feel? In spite of what's happening to me or around me? Will I trust him? God, will I trust you no matter what's happening in my home, in my family? Maybe you're going through something tragic. You went through a death of a loved one. You're going through a divorce. You're going through bankruptcy. You're going through something very traumatic in your life. But will you still trust God in spite of what's come against you? The first person people want to point the finger to when things go wrong is God. Why did God allow this to happen? Why did God do this? Why could God not keep me from it? Why did God not step in? Why did God? Everything points back to God. God is not ever the blame to our problems. God is the solution to all of our problems. God is never the one to point the finger to, church, ever. We must trust him no matter what. No matter what we see. Next, the verse for this. When Bill says this morning in Sunday school, I think it's the right one. Yeah. I kind of leaped in the sound because you talked about Job, but kind of very similar this morning. Look at what Job said in chapter 1, verse 21. He said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what Job was saying? I want to trust him no matter what. I came in with nothing, and I'll go out with nothing. And there's a lot of revelation to that. Because when we come in this earth, in our mother's womb, when we're first born, we have no abilities within ourselves to do anything. And we go out of this world, and you're laying in a casket. Guess what? You got no ability to do anything. You came in with nothing. We go out physically with nothing. But yet I will bless his name. Job is saying he's the Lord of my life. No matter what I have or don't have, no matter what God does or doesn't do, I'm going to trust him all of my days. And Job went through it. Now, if you don't know the story of Job, let me paraphrase it very quickly. Because, I mean, like I said, we quit serving God just because the power bill is too high 1 month. You know what? Power bill is real high, you know? God, you ain't taking care of me. I mean, just ridiculous things. You know what Job went through? Job lost all of his children to death. They were tragically killed. He lost all of his animals and crops. So he lost all of his finance. Gone. Then, if that wasn't enough, he gets boils all up on his body. He's in so much pain, he's got boils up on his flesh. He's lost his children, he's lost his money, and he's lost his health. But yet, he trusts God. And there was nowhere in Job we read where he turned his back on God and was done with him. In fact, he had to talk to his wife and tell her to be quiet. I don't want to hear what you got to say because I'm trusting God more. You know why Job said that? Because Job loved God more than he loved his wife. And he put God first. See, we can't love God until we know God. We can't know God until we have a relationship with God. How can I have a relationship, Pastor, with something, someone I can't see? Oh, we see him all the time. As you're going to work and that sun is rising, you're seeing the face of God. At night, when you go out and see that beautiful moon and those beautiful stars, you're seeing the face of God. As you're looking at your children, you're seeing the face of God. As you're looking at your incredible, awesome pastor, you are seeing the mighty hand of God in this place. We see God in all things. And people say that God doesn't talk to us. Yes, he does. God can talk to us in many ways. A few Wednesday nights ago, I was preaching a message, and we left church, and Marjorie sent me a text. She just got in the car and turned the radio on and said, "Look, this is the first song at the church on the radio playing," and it was exactly the song that I'd preached the message on. I know they rotate songs regularly. I get that. We could justify all that. I know they play that song 10 times over two. I got whatever. Yeah, the song was clean, and I just preached on that night. God can speak and confirm things in many ways. Just this morning, Bill's talking all about victory in the shout, talking about the shout, talking about that. And I immediately thought about Wednesday night, we sung that song, Victory in the Shout. We've not sung that song in 2 or 3 years, but we sung it Wednesday night. And then Bill hit that this morning, and it's amazing how the Spirit of God confirms things and brings things together because both things are in the right place. God is always speaking. And God spoke to Job, and Job spoke to God, and Job never quit trusting God. And in the end, if you're wondering about Job, God, the Bible says God blessed him double fold of what he had. More children, more money, more prosperity, all of that came back to him. He trusted God. And understand the very beginning of Job. It said, the devil came to God and says, "I want to attack this servant." The devil had asked permission to attack Job. Which says this, that he is the Lord over all. He controls all, and nothing happens. Remember watching a bonanza one time where the crooked guy in town trying to control all the business, and he told Ben Cartwright, he goes, "There ain't a wagon wheel turns in this town without me saying it turns." I'm going to tell you something, that's God. There ain't nothing happens to you unless I allow it to happen. Which gives me great comfort that God is in control of me and God loves me. And God's going to make sure I'm okay. I trust that. Fourth question this morning. I want to ask you to know if he's Lord of your life. Will you follow him wherever? So many people say, "I love God. I believe in God. He's the Lord." But will you follow him any way he leads? And what I mean by this, there are a lot of people that battle a lot of things.
As Christians, we battle things we're ashamed of. We battle things we know aren't right for our lives. We have strongholds. We have sins. We have secrets of our heart. We have thoughts of our mind that we know aren't godly. All of us have those things in our lives that are not perfect. And sometimes God will speak to us about those things. Just as Bill was talking this morning in Sunday school, God will speak, but we're not obedient to it. And what I mean by this is if God has truly spoken to you to quit doing something, to stop going there, to change your direction, to change what you're doing, are we willing to follow him in that direction? Because if we're not, church, he is not the Lord of our lives. As maybe cold as that sounds, and some of you I know are sitting there thinking, Pastor, you have no right to tell me that's not Lord of my life. I'm just going through Scripture, and I'm giving you Scripture to base this, that if he's the Lord of your life, you're going to love him first. You're going to serve him always. You're going to follow him wherever, and you will trust him no matter what. This is the Word of God. Because when something is the Lord of your life, you know, there are people at every sporting event now, you know, people gamble on their team. They put money down. Super Bowl, you know, billions of dollars gamble on the game. People are putting money down, banking on their team to win. I bet, and I'm going to follow my team to such a degree, I'm laying down $100 that they're going to win this game. But we don't follow God with the same sense of allegiance or urgency. God is speaking to our hearts all the time. God is trying to get our attention, but we're not following his direction because we're too stubborn with either pride or rebellion or whatever it is we carry that keeps us from following God. You know, us men, well, women too, well, we're different, but men have egos. We understand that. I sent a Facebook post, said, women, if you want something fixed, if you want your man to try to fix something, you jump in and tell him how to do it. Or you jump in and try to do it, then he'll jump in because the ego thing. We know we have egos. We all want to be, you know, liked. We all want to feel important. We all want to be, you know, I'm smart. And that's why you got people that always try to out-answer you because they know all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I've never said I have all the answers. And there are people that ask me stuff all the time. Somebody asked me a question yesterday, a spiritual question. I said, you know what? I have no idea why that is. I've often wondered that and really don't know. There is nothing wrong with that. But because of our human nature of wanting to be know-it-all and, you know, pride and arrogance and I don't want to look stupid. Look, I'm the one, I'm telling you, I am the kid in school that always asks questions. And I'm the person still that asks questions till I get on people's nerves because I want to know. I was never the kid that said, I ain't going to raise my hand. I don't look stupid. I wanted to know. Now, Bill never raised his hand. He knew all the answers. I mean, he really did. He was smart. But I didn't know the answers. Are you following God wherever he leads you? If he's the Lord of your life, you will. God, I will follow you and your direction and your voice. Whatever you're telling me to do, no matter how hard that choice may be. We are in some times that are dangerous, some times that are intense. We're in a struggle with sin, with dark forces all the time around us. And God is speaking to us, I want to be Lord of your life, but you've got to trust me enough to follow me wherever I go. Let's read some verses. This is when he is calling his disciples or some people around him. He says, Matthew 8, verse 19, a certain scribe came and said, Master, I will follow you wherever you go. Sounds good, don't it? Next verse. Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not anywhere to lay his head. It's not a life that you think it is sometimes. Verse 21. Another of his disciples said, Lord, allow me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me. And let the dead bury their dead. Now let me explain this verse if y'all have an anxiety attack. Because you're sitting there thinking, oh my God, Jesus said I can't bury his pops? Are you serious? What kind of God is that? Pops wasn't dying yet. He's using an example. This man was saying, well, let me take care of my father. He's aging. Maybe he's in poor health. But I want to stay with him until he leaves the earth. And then once I don't have that responsibility, then I'll follow you. That's what Jesus is saying. And he's saying, let those that are dead, let the ones I'm not calling, let the spiritually dead take care of that. I've called you for something greater. I've called you for a future. You've got to make a decision. Are you going to stay tied to daddy's apron strings? Or are you going to follow me and do what I've called you to do? Are you going to stay attached to what you're familiar with and what you're comfortable with? Or are you going to follow me? Are you just, because all he was doing was making excuses, just like many of us do all the time. And, you know, as a pastor, and I don't harp, and y'all know this, for all these years, I'm a very gentle, loving man of the cloth, right, Stacy? Very gentle, very loving. I'm not like a lot of preachers that will railroad the congregation. I don't do that. But I have to tell you, in my private time, when I get certain texts and calls from y'all about why you're not coming to church, me is rolling my eyes. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm not coming because of this. I'm not coming because of this. I'm sitting there going, okay. All right. If you had Panther tickets, would you cancel for the same reason? If you had a date night with somebody, a social event, would you cancel that? Here's the good one. If your kids had soccer practice or wrestling practice, would you not show up for that for the same reason? Man, I've seen parents get up at 5 in the morning, travel 2 days all weekend, stay 10 hours at a ball game for their kids. But when it comes to the house of God on Sunday, it's too cold, it's too hot, it's too wet, it's too dry. I'm too tired. I'm too awake. Too much caffeine, not enough caffeine. You know? Whatever the reasons are. And once again, I'm not browbeating y'all. I'm just saying there's times me roll my eyes. I'm like, okay. That's the reason. All right. That's a good one. I'm out of coffee. I can't make it. Okay. Go get some coffee. Simple solution. I've had folks many times tell me. Had a guy tell me years ago. Says, I know I've not been given in church. This is years ago. He said, I haven't been given in church. Said, but you know what? I'm glad I didn't because my air conditioning unit broke down. I had to pay. Oh, it's $1,000, so I'm glad I didn't send it. And I'm sitting here going, okay. Yeah, I know exactly, right? And that's probably why I broke down. Here's the deal. We can make excuses why we don't want to give our money, why we don't want to come to church, why we don't want to serve in the church. We can give all these excuses, you know, why we don't want to come. You know, I know our Sunday school was earlier. It's 9 o'clock. I know that's early for some people. But 9 o'clock would not stop anyone else from going anywhere else they wanted to be. What time do your kids get to go to school in the mornings? 6:30, 7 o'clock? Early. So we start Sunday school at 9. That's actually 2 more hours than when they get up for school, or, you know, an hour past school time. I know it's early. But you know what? If there was a baseball practice, wrestling match, soccer practice, 9 o'clock, you'd be there. No questions asked. I know. Ashley was a cheerleader for her freshman year. I know. We went to every single game with her to support her. Every game we was at for cheerleading. Every game. She got to every practice on time. She was every Friday night or Thursday night. She was there for the game. We were there. She was there every time. Didn't matter what happened. Didn't matter what happened. You know? Even some of y'all call me. Can't meet Thursday night. Mm-mm. Can we meet Friday? Because I'll be there with her on Thursday. That's commitment. If he is the Lord of our lives, we will not let so many excuses keep us out of the house of God. I've got Joe Brown and I've got Teresa that I know, two people just right here, who every day experience tremendous physical pain, who is on strong medication just to survive day by day. I've got Von Seal on a walker who walks in this church in her 80s. He's here on Sunday mornings. I've got my grandma, who's also, let's just say, seasoned. She's not. Is she here today? Oh, well, never mind. Bad excuse. Bad example. I was going to say, there's times that she comes, even on Wednesday nights. There's times, sometimes she hasn't been lately, because it gets. But she comes on Wednesday nights by herself, in her 80s, and drives here to church. If you want to be in the house of God, you will be here. The only time I missed church, I'm sure Bill never missed church either growing up. The only time we ever missed church was vacation. That was it. I'd miss one Sunday a year growing up. We went on vacation, we might miss a Sunday. That was it. It wasn't an option. It didn't matter what happened. Dad made no excuses. Mom had a headache. Well, take a goodies, let's hit the car. Jesus will heal you. I mean, you know, there was just no excuses. We drove 45 minutes one way for 25 years. 45 minutes one way, 25 years. And gas prices, when they go up, we didn't quit going to church. Well, I can't afford the gas. Dad put gas in it and kept on going. When you want to do something, you're going to do it. And when he's the Lord of your life, you're going to serve him. You're going to follow him. You're going to worship him. You're going to love him. And nothing's going to keep you away from that. All right. Let me get you back happy again. All right, number five. Question five. Here's the last one. To measure, is he the Lord of your life? Will you surrender to him always? See, David did. Yes, David sinned bad. David had it bad for Bathsheba. He slept with a married woman, got a married woman pregnant, then killed her husband, and then tried to cover it all up. I mean, David got in a, he got in a really bad way. But you know what David did to show us that God was the Lord of his life? He surrendered. Because when Nathan, the prophet, came and knocked on the king's door, think of the courage it took him to do this. Think of that courage. Nobody wants to go call somebody out. But Nathan went to him and said, David, I'm paraphrasing, you sinned against God. You sinned. Nathan called David's sin out. David had a choice in that moment. He could be like many of us. I didn't sin. I'm King David. I have what I want, man. God, I got 300 concubines. What's one more woman? And God understands, and I'm king, and I got a lot of pressure, and I got a lot of stress, and you know, that's why I do this, and that's why I drink. That's why I smoke weed. That's why I do all this. It's to relieve the stress, man. We can make all the excuses we want, but it doesn't substitute the reality of surrendering to God alone and letting him change your life. Immediately when the prophet told David his sin, David said, Lord, forgive me. And he went and he fasted and he wept and he mourned because of his sin. He didn't try to cover it up. He didn't say, I don't need no help. I'm okay, Nathan, but thanks for stopping by. Have a blessed day. He didn't say, you know what? It's all good because me and Jesus got our own thing going. He immediately acknowledged his sin and repented and fasted and prayed and wept and grieved over his sin. That's what we have lost. Because when we truly surrender, we grieve, we mourn, we repent. We fully acknowledge that we are in the wrong, God is not, and nobody else is. There are folks you try to point out what's going on in their lives, they don't want to hear you. They shut you down and shut you out. They're not surrendering to the voice of truth. When God speaks to us, if he's the Lord of our lives, we will surrender our life, our thoughts, our heart to him. Say, God, here it is. Make me whole again. Look at some verses for this. I am, Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is saying, my life no longer is lived according to what I feel, but I'm surrendering my life to God. I'm crucifying the flesh and the appetites and the desires that get me in trouble. And God, I want your spirit now to lead me and to guide every step that I take. I'm surrendering to you, God. Something about surrenderance leads to deliverance. It's so powerful in our lives if we would surrender. Next verse. We've got two more verses on this. James 4:10. Humble yourselves, which means surrender yourselves, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of God. Ralph, you got that little cutout. I want to say that for a minute. I want to use that as an example. He showed me this morning. We see ourselves as humans as being big and bad and, you know, I'm great and I'm mighty because I make six figures a year or I live on the lake or, you know, I've got a trophy wife, or I've got my hair, I don't know. We think that, and no, I don't have any psychological any issues I need help with, thank you. I know, I do have more than you, so I feel pretty good now, thanks. Wow, I'm a sheepdog compared to him. We think we're big and mighty, but if we would see ourselves like this, this is Ralph. Sherry made a cut out of Ralph, a mini Ralph. If we would humble ourselves and see ourselves as this, then God would do this. Lift us up. Say bye-bye, Ralph. The trumpet sounds. In the sight of God, humble ourselves. God, I'm not big, but you are. And you are able, as I surrender myself and make myself smaller, I see you as bigger. God, as I become weak within myself, you become my strength. As I become powerless, God, you then become my power. As I see myself, Lord, in a different way as this, then you will magnify your glory and yourself upon my life as I surrender. Did you know that, and I've challenged you this, I've got that right there, let me forget it, get back to you. There's something about when you pray, and maybe some of you can't physically do it anymore, and I understand that. But there's something about when you pray, if you can get on your knees. There's times I pray where I've got on my knees and stretched over in a bowing position on the floor. It's the lowest point you could possibly physically get to. And there's something about when you are in that position, you're bowed down on the floor, that brings such a humility of surrenderance. I mean, there's people that bow to kings, bow to popes, call them old father, old great one, your highness, whatever they call them. We even call judges your honor. Here is our Lord and our King. If he is the Lord of your life, these five questions you should be able to answer today, yes, 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 yes. If not, then pray and say, God, I know you need to be the Lord of my life, and I am failing in these areas. And I need you to help my unbelief. I need you to help my heart. I need you to help strengthen me. I need you to show me, God, what you want me to do, because I want to completely make you Lord of my life. And we're not talking about the Savior of our life. We understand he's our Savior. We're talking about the Lord of our life today. We're doing things on our own. One more verse for this point, this question. Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge. Another word for acknowledge actually means surrender. Or acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Surrender to him. He'll direct you. But here's the thing, as Bill said in Sunday school, you got to obey. I mean, you've got to obey. You can say, oh, God spoke to me and he showed me this, but you still got to obey. Just because you surrender to him doesn't always mean you obey him. Lord, I surrender to what you, I'm surrendering to your voice right now, God. Speak to me. Then he speaks to you and you don't do what he says. If he's the Lord of your life, you will love him most. You will serve him no matter what. Should have wrote those 5 points down. I did write them down somewhere. Is my pad still back there? Thank you, trust him. Is my pad right there? Hand me that pad. Right there. I should have capped it back at the end. Do you love him most? Serve him no matter what? Will you trust him in spite of? Will you follow him wherever? And will you surrender to him always? 5 questions for you to ponder today. To really measure, have I made him the Lord of my life? It's so much better when he's in charge. You can sleep better at night. You can have peace during the day to know God, you've got this. And as Bill's message this morning in Sunday school was talking about, what was your title this morning? Do you have a title this morning? It was shout. As you shout, as you declare the victory, as you declare God's word. And we know this. We understand that we believe what we hear. I talked about that last week, actually. You know, Melanie made me feel very good this morning. I came in, and she goes, says, you look really nice this morning. You clean up pretty good. And we just talked last week. Remember about how when your wife or your husband tells you something, how it makes you start believing it? You know? Yeah, Melanie, you're hot. Well, you don't need to lose no weight, girl. You're perfect. You're fine. Like wine. Honey, you're perfect. You're beautiful. I love your hair. I love your eyes. Your skin's so incredibly gorgeous. I'm so blessed to have you as my wife. You're my queen. You're my princess. You're my main squeeze. You're my honey. Notice I didn't say only squeeze, main squeeze. I'm playing. You're my main squeeze. All of a sudden, she starts, you know, just that one compliment Melanie gave me this morning, it really made, and I've been married 26 years, and it still made me feel good. My wife said it. Didn't have to be a strange woman. My wife said that, and I still got giddy over it. Not jiggy with it, giddy with it. I got giddy. She told me I look good. Think about how that, like Bill says, we reaffirm to God of who we are in Christ. I will shout the victory today. Because you're my Lord. I want to love you today, God, more than anybody. I'm going to serve you today, my Lord, no matter what. I'm going to follow you, God, wherever you go. I'm going to surrender, God, all day long. Whatever your plan for my life is, God, that's what I want in my life because you're my Lord. As we begin to declare God's word of who we are in him and what he is to us, then we start believing that. And we know we believe what we hear and what we see. People put stuff on Facebook. I can look at it first right away. An article. I know it's a bogus. I don't have to pull it up. I know it's a fake article. When I first see it, I know it's fake. But man, people will believe that and post it and share it and send it on, not having any idea. It's not even truth. We will believe what we see and what we hear. Which voice will you listen to? The voice of the devil or the voice of your king today? Five questions to ponder. Have you made him the Lord of your life? And if you haven't, and you're sitting there saying, you know what? Man, that's some pretty good points. Because most of us, here's where most of us in here probably lie, to be honest. We can all be honest. We do love God. We think we love God more than anybody else. And maybe we do most time. Maybe we love God more than some people, but not all people. You know, maybe we do serve God, but we don't really serve no matter what. I'll serve God when I'm feeling good and when things are right, when I'm on fire. But I'm not going to serve God maybe when I get depressed or get discouraged. I stop serving God. I stop being part of the house of God. I stop coming to church. Most of us are probably in the middle of that. And then most of us probably, do you trust him in spite of? We do trust God. We say we do. And I think most of us do trust God as Christians. But trust is giving it to him. And I'm telling you, I'm preaching to me this morning on all of these points. And Melanie would tell you, she amen. I'm preaching to me. We do trust God to a degree, but if we really trust God, we let him have it, and then we don't worry about it no more. Are you still worried about your problems? Then we've not fully trusted God if we do. Are you really worried about what might happen? Then we're not trusting God. Are you worried what did happen? I'm not trusting God. Trusting God means no matter what I see, no matter what I feel, God, I'm trusting you above it all. And most of us probably don't trust God all the time. Do you follow him wherever? Once again, most time, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. When God speaks to us, sometimes we listen. And we do follow him, and sometimes we hang on to that thing and won't let it go. If God is speaking in your life on any issue, no matter how we try to justify it, you need to listen. There's a reason. And I'm not saying it's a hell-sending reason. I'm saying it's a disruptive walk with God it's causing in your life. You know, as a couple, there's days you're closer. There's maybe seasons you're closer. There's times you're closer based on, you know, when Don goes out of town on his travel trips for a week. Barbara, why do you seem happier when he's gone than when he's home? I'm playing. When he's gone on those trips, there's a time of separation. She's not seen Don in 6 or 7 days. She's not touched Don, not kissed Don, not saw him physically. Then when he comes home, the dynamics change. Now he's there. She can give him a peck on the cheek. She can hug him, whatever. He's there. The relationship is closer when they're should be when they're together. When we spend time with God, we will be closer to Him, and we will have relationship with Him. And when that relationship happens, then we got to listen to what our Father is telling us to do, because He's telling us for a reason. All things work out for good to them who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. So when God is speaking to you, He's loving you. Listen to that voice and be able to let go and say, "You're the Lord of my life, not this." If there are things in your life today that you can't lay down, that's what the Lord of your life is. As harsh as that sounds, church, that's what is controlling you. If there's things you can't lay down, and what I mean, things you can't lay down that are detrimental to your life, that are a negative effect on your life. I'm not saying drinking sweet tea every day is taking my away from God, because I don't think it is. And I really mean that. That's not taking it away from God. But there are things in our lives that can disrupt our walk with God. And He speaks to us and says, you know, Samson broke all of his Nazarene vows. Samson was never supposed to drink alcohol. Boy, was he a party boy. Samson was not to touch any unclean thing. He did that. Samson slept and had relationships with people from other nations and other races that he was commanded not to at that time. He broke all of his vows. He did not fully surrender to God and His call. But at the end of his life, if you remember, he prayed to God and says, "Lord, let me feel Your strength and power one more time. Let my enemy be vindicated." And a little boy led blind Samson over to the front of this porch where he had his hands on the house. He said, "God, shake me one more time." And that pillar of that palace fell down. The Bible says he killed more of his enemies in that last act than he killed the days he lived. He was the Lord of Samson's life. But Samson lost a lot because he didn't surrender fully. Church, when we surrender to God, things happen. Things change. No matter how hard it may be, doing the right thing is always harder than doing the wrong thing. Sin is so much easier than doing things God's way. That's why our children and our little babies start acting out so young. It's called terrible twos for a reason. Terrible twos. They start back talking. They start pushing you away. They grunt when you tell them no. You ever seen babies grunt when you tell them no? They can't talk it, but they grunt at you. That's right. I reach out and guess something. No. That's a devil in them. Devil inside. Devil inside. Every single one of us, a devil inside. Devil inside. Old 80s song, sorry. That's the devil inside them that do that. They grunt at you. They hit back at you. Man, I've been out in public. I've seen kids, the way they treat their parents. I want to take their little, they wouldn't do that. I'm going to tell you something about our kids, all three of them. They wasn't no fool when they were little. They acted like they had some sense. They were well-mannered and sat still. They didn't stand on top of McDonald's tables. They didn't stand up in a restaurant behind me and talk to people behind me. Hey, yeah, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Sit down. You're not cute to them. You're cute to us. Let's be real. Let me tell you something, church. Everybody think your kid's as cute as you do. Okay? They're your kid. We taught our kids to be mannered. But that devil inside of them comes out young. And that's why they start rebelling. Tay is in what, first grade? Second grade. And King is in kindergarten, right? Not yet. Okay. He'll be in kindergarten next year. That'll be his first year of big school, kindergarten. And I guarantee you, little Kingston, look at him. Look at him. He's just cheesing. He looks so sweet and innocent and cute. But I guarantee you, and he's shaking his head, yeah. I guarantee you, in kindergarten next year, he will probably get in a little bit of trouble for talking in class when he shouldn't talk, putting his hands on people that don't belong, touching the hall. He's shaking his head, yeah. He's agreeing. He knows. Touching the walls when a teacher says, keep your hands off the walls. Sit down. He's going to break some rules. And he's going to break them more than once. And he's going to break them on purpose. Because the devil is there. And we're born in that rebellious state. And then something happens. We have that conscience as we get a little bit older that starts to kick in of right and wrong. God put that there. God put that moral compass within every man to know what right from wrong is. Even the most hardened criminal knows, yeah, I shouldn't have murdered them. You think? They know that because they know they violated moral code. Will we surrender to God and let him be the Lord of our lives, or will we rebel against God and continue to live our lives bound? I want God to be my Lord today. I want to be my Lord. Marty, come up here and play a little something. Let's stand our feet together this morning. I want us to pray together. If you are here today and after hearing this message and hearing these five questions that have been presented to you this morning, and you can't answer yes to all of these questions, I want to challenge you today to just, as we pray, to say, Lord, I do want you to be the Lord of my life. I've not allowed you to really be my Lord. I'm allowed you to be a part-time God, a sometime God, but not an all-time God. I want to pray this morning with you. And I want you to pray with me, to agree with me where you stand, and make this the day you surrender. God, we stand before a holy God who is perfect, who makes no mistakes, who never fails. And Lord, we have failed in allowing you to be the Lord of all of our lives. We let you be there part-time, sometime, some days, not all time. We let you be Lord when it's convenient for us, but when the challenge hits our lives, when something drastic happens, sometimes, God, we turn away. Sometimes we back down. Sometimes we fail to call upon you and give it all to you. We today want to declare in our hearts, in our lives, as we stand here, to come and be the Lord of our lives in every aspect. The Lord of our thoughts, the Lord of our intentions, the Lord of our direction, the Lord of our hearts, the Lord of our steps, the Lord of our words, the Lord of all that we are, God. We surrender to you today to be the Lord of Lords and King of Kings over all of us today. That we will worship you no matter what, serve you no matter what, love you no matter what, follow you no matter what, God, trust you no matter what. Today, God, we give you all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, that you will take over today and become the Lord of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare this. We declare this. The church said amen. Go ahead and sing, Marjorie.
Jesus be the Lord.
surrender all.
Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdom's of my heart.
Amen. Amen. Nothing like surrendering, church. Nothing like surrendering. Y'all can be seated this morning if you so wish. Lane, come on up here, brother. Get on the drums for our offering song. Where's he at? Oh. Usher, come on up here this morning if you would. Give you a chance to give to the Lord today.